Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We are on AZ Central Sports as we partner with the Arizona Republic. This is one of the busiest days that we will have this year, maybe the year, in sports. On one hand, we have Super Bowl Media Day about ready to get started in downtown Phoenix. On the other hand, over at TPC Scottsdale, Tiger Woods, a short time ago, met with the media. Robert Allenby is scheduled to meet with the media in about an hour and a half. He of I blacked out. No, actually, we're at a strip club fame. He's got to explain himself. So we're going to be all over the place. Michael Fabiano is going to be with us, too, one of our regulars on the show. He has an event with DeMarco Murray and Marshall Faulk that we are going to help him promote a little bit for you to get involved that will take place this Thursday. It's the evolution of fantasy football. And so Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, he'll be with us as well. I went out to the Patriots event last night where the owner, Robert Kraft, went off, in my opinion. So I want to get into that as the show progresses. I just have to say, the NFL has to be loving all of this. All this stuff around Deflategate, nobody at all is really talking about the game. And it seems to me that as the week has progressed, now we're into just Tuesday, that today, tomorrow, I can't see it getting into how is Cam Chancellor going to knock the head off of Rob Gronkowski. I can't see it. Especially after the owner last night, and you'll hear some of his comments, basically threw it down on the NFL and said, you guys better have proof on this because I'm standing by Brady and I'm standing by Belichick and they're not lying. So I want to get into that a little bit as the show moves on. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, you can get away this weekend for the big game on Sunday. The Honda Resort and Casino, you can check it out. More importantly, you can go to the Sunrise Ski Resort. You can go to Sunrise and enjoy yourself, do some sledding, some skiing, of course. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and have some great food, some fun, pull down the slots, check out the big game, and enjoy the Sunrise Ski Resort. All that in the northeastern part of our great state, that is the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They, of course, have been a big part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. All right, as mentioned, there's two big events going on, and we're all spread out today, which is, we love days like today. Let's go down to the arena, actually U.S. Airways, where it's usually a Suns game, but today it's been converted into Super Bowl Media Day, and Eric Sorensen from Sports360AZ is joining us. Where are you right now?
Right now, I would be sitting about, five rows behind one of the baskets. And remember, Brad, it's no longer U.S. Airways Center. It's like the artist formerly known as U.S. Airways Center, some casino.
Right, right. It's a casino, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So have you seen anybody famous yet? This doesn't start for about 20 more minutes, right?
Let's see. It starts at the bottom of the hour with the Patriots. I've seen Big Red, the mascot from the Cardinals. There are at least two or three superheroes who I've seen already down here.
Awesome.
The usual suspects, NFL Network, ESPN, Chris Berman, Deion Sanders. They're all down here. But the best way to describe it right now, Brad, again, we're about 20 minutes away from this thing starting. And as I'm looking down over what is usually the Suns' home floor, it would be like taking everyone out of the lower bowl and just basically putting them on the court. Like, I've been here for about 45 minutes, and when I got here, it was a good crowd, and now the whole floor is almost completely filled with media.
All right, so is there anybody of interest with these superheroes? You know, guys dressed as superheroes pretending to be media members, that is what NFL Media Super Bowl Day is all about, right? Guys that have no business being there, but somehow they're there. Who are the superheroes?
Exactly.
What are they playing as? Is it Aquaman? Is it Green Hornet? What do we have in the way of superheroes?
I see some guy with a P on his back dressed in green and black. I'm not sure. I'm not really up to speed on my superhero characters, but like I haven't seen Spider-Man or Superman.
Yeah.
But the ASU pep band is here. It's a pretty good show, and so far this week, just from talking to some people outside of the market, they've been really impressed with how Phoenix has handled their business in terms of having accessibility and hotel rooms and access and things like that. So far, so good. It's been a nice week so far for Phoenix and the rest of the Valley.
Yeah, so you think you're going to tackle Deion Sanders and throw a phone in his ear, huh?
if I were down on the court right now and I tried to stick a phone in someone's ear, I'm up in the stands. I'm not sure I could hear you, Brad, but I'm going to do my best to try to find somebody.
All right. Well, I see up on some of the monitors here that Gronk is walking in right now. So all we want is one-on-ones with Gronk and Brady, and you're done. That's it. You know, 10
you
minutes
got
each. Yeah, of course. You and 5,000 other people down there. All right, check back
and with one last story, Brad. I took the light rail down this morning, and I talked to someone on the light rail who is a Seahawks fan, lives in Phoenix, and he paid the $35 to get in to see Media Day.
Of course.
And I hope that he gets his money's worth on that $35.
You know how he would get his money's worth, E, is guys that would just walk out of their podium and walk up into the stands and sit with those people and say, look, you sucker, you put down $35 to sit here and watch us do nothing. That's about the only way that they would get their money's worth. So, all right, get out of here. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Sounds good. Talk to you all day.
So there's that story downtown. It's the Super Bowl and Media Day, which gets started at 10:30. The Seahawks go this afternoon. You know, doesn't it feel like the NFL doesn't want the Patriots to win this Super Bowl? I don't know how it can't be that they're not distracted by all this stuff that's been hovering around them. I just don't. The Richard Sherman comments from Seattle. Seattle hasn't really been bugged with this stuff that much. And I'm sure as the week progresses, there's going to come a tipping point where the Deflategate finds its final resting place. If it truly is this kid, this was reported by Jay Glazer yesterday, that there's a young man that has the footballs. He disappears into a bathroom stall for about a minute 30. We can only wonder what's going on in the bathroom stall, and then he comes back out. I don't know if there's video of this or not. You would think the NFL would have video everywhere. But until that moment happens, where there is the smoking gun and definitive evidence, as Robert Kraft said yesterday, this story is just going to continue on. It's just the way it is. So we'll go back into some Super Bowl stuff in a bit, and we'll hear from Robert Kraft as well, because I did think it was very interesting last night. I tried to give that story some context. The other big story is over at TPC Scottsdale. The Waste Management Open is on actually tomorrow with the Pro-Am. Tiger Woods played. He didn't play the whole course this morning. He just finished about 15 minutes ago meeting with the media. Jared Cohen from Sports 360 AZ is live out at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. How big a group was there for Tiger Woods after he was done?
Probably the biggest that I've seen around a player since Phil went for his 59, and even probably bigger than that.
Yeah, and they weren't all golf media, right? I mean, there was some of the fringe that was there, correct?
100%, and there was definitely a lot more of, I think, a national presence than they might have anticipated here early this week, so they probably got tipped off he was going to be here early. But there was definitely quite a few people around, and we just beat the rain, thank goodness, which is probably why Tiger got off the course a little bit earlier than anticipated.
Yeah, he was supposed to talk at 10:30. They moved it up.
Because it is pouring. It might have died down a little bit, but maybe about 5 minutes after he got off the podium, it started to rain and then pour. So quite a torrential downpour, but it wouldn't be the Phoenix Open week if there wasn't a little rain involved.
Okay, we're going to hear from him in here in a little bit, but I do want to know on your end, did he talk at all about how many holes that he played today? Did he play 16 today?
No, he did not. He started off at 10, didn't make it to 16. That's the extent that I know for a fact. He talked about 16 a little bit and how he's looking forward to seeing it tomorrow for the first time, playing it for the first time since the kind of stadium has been erected like it is now today. He also talked about his what he remembers from the hole-in-one that he had back in 97. He also touched on someone asked him about security and the incident with the orange being thrown at him and admitted that is part of the reason to why he hasn't been here in a long time. But he said that the people around here have done a great job improving security and putting together a nice event that's part of the reason why he's come back this time around. So hasn't played 16, didn't play the whole back nine. I think it was because people alerted him about the rain. But he'll play the whole 18, barring any rain tomorrow for the Pro-Am.
So Jared Cohen joining us live over TPC Scottsdale. Tiger Woods wrapped up just a short time ago. How far into this did it get until somebody said, what about your tooth?
Very quickly. you know, people asked him, great to be here, asked him about 16. Those are probably what you'd expect to be the first couple, and I want to say the third or fourth question. was about the tooth. He went through the whole story. He got them replaced. He said, thankfully, the tooth that was knocked out was a root canal, so it was easily replaced. Blamed it on the media for it being blown out of proportion the way it was, and how that it might not have been truthful, that it was a camera that knocked his tooth out, and blamed it on the media for that. So yep, it was mentioned pretty quickly. He went through the whole story, and he said it's a shame that that's the bigger story than Lindsey Vonn setting record.
Okay, I wasn't there. I sat here in the studios and watched everything with him. I thought it was interesting that he was very gregarious, Jared. He was laughing and joking and just very, and I know it's the first time that he's back out on the course. I don't know if it's image rehab or not, but I found him to be like in a playful mood almost. Would you agree or disagree?
I would totally agree. And I was quick to comment to Nick, the intern who's out here with us this week, that he was even standing the way he was kind of standing on the podium, because it wasn't like your sit down press conference type thing. There was just a microphone on a little platform. And he kind of stood with like his hip leaning one direction and was talking very, like you said, gregariously with his hands. I'm a big body language type person, so I like to read into that stuff. So I think there definitely could be something to it. He was very open, outgoing, and yeah, basically everything you said, I caught the same gist.
And he plays, he's not in the Pro-Am, but he plays at 8:30, is my understanding, on Thursday morning, that he tees off early. And I've not seen the full breakdown as of yet, but that's my understanding. Anything else you want to add out there on Tiger? I know Allenby is later this morning. I'm sure some of that fringe media is there for Allenby, but anything else you want to add?
No, just, you know, hopefully the weather clears up a little bit. Like I said, it was pouring pretty bad out here just a little bit while ago. Got us pretty drenched. They had to move. They haven't yet canceled the Special Olympics event that they have here annually with some great celebrities and former athletes out here. That hasn't been canceled, but it's been pushed back. So, you know, this has the potential to be an incredible week, barring rain, you know. So hopefully we get it all out of the way today, and the rest of the week can be what everyone hopes and expects it to be.
All right. Good luck out there. If you see a national golf guy or anybody of interest around the putting, feel free to call on in. We'll check with you later. Thanks.
Sounds good.
It's Jared Cohen. Okay, so Eric downtown, Jared over Waste Management. We'll bounce around as we see fit. I have no idea who's going to call in, if anybody's going to call in, or if lots of people. I have no idea. We don't sit here and script this and say, okay, at this time, I don't do that. We just roll with it. So on the other side, I think I want to bounce back with Eric down at the Super Bowl Media Day. I think he's found some people down there that are interesting. I heard Mike Bercovici is going to be down there interviewing people, so we may catch up with him on the other side. And we'll hear from Robert Kraft, too, plus Tiger Woods. We'll hear from him, big chunks of him, later on in the show as well. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content on Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric, and we partner with AZ Central Sports.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So last night I was over with the Patriots as they arrived. Robert Kraft came out and he spoke definitively about everything that had been transpiring with the Patriots. And then Tom Brady came out, Bill Belichick came out, and they all defended themselves as much as they could by saying, you know, we're not talking about this and now we're moving on. We've addressed it before. But the owner, and we're going to hear from him in a couple of moments, Robert Kraft, on the stance that he took. I do want to head back down to Super Bowl Media Day. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. My understanding is on-site reporter Mike Bercovici for AZ Central's Arizona State starting quarterback for 2015 joins us for a couple of minutes. Where are you right now at Super Bowl Media Day, Berko?
Oh, I'm in the heat of the battle right now. I'm actually standing next to Rob Gronkowski booth right now. Kind of disappointed because he's a Wildcat, but it's pretty hectic down here.
Yeah, blow him off. You don't need to talk to a Wildcat, right?
Oh, no, there'll be no interview with him.
So you're camped out. Is Rob Gronkowski there yet? while you're talking to me.
No, I mean, I'm sure we'll hear the crowd roar pretty soon here. There's no one out right now, but it's pretty cool. Michael Irving's down here, Deion Sanders down here. So it's pretty cool to see some of these live broadcasters from all the TV shows I watch.
Yeah, Mike Bercovici with Brad Sussmat on the floor at Super Bowl Media Day. What question do you want to ask Gronk?
You know, I want to see him throw a pitchfork up, so that's what I'm going to try for at first. But I have a feeling it might fail, but
yeah.
I'll try.
No, it's fine to fail, but do you want it? Are you going to try to talk to him about football or underinflated footballs? What's your tact there? This is your big break.
You know, I'm here with Jordan Simone, so he's a character, and, you know, we put ourselves in these guys' shoes, what kind of questions they would want to answer. So we're going to make it fun and exciting and kind of do the football player perspective, so it'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, is Jordan there with you right now?
Yeah, he is right now. He's right next to me.
Can you hand him the phone real quick? Just tell him I want to talk to him. Yeah, this is live. It could fail miserably.
Hello?
Jordan.
Hey.
Hey, it's Brad Sussmat. You're on the air, okay? You're fine with that? You're down there doing the interviews. What are you going to talk to Gronk about?
What's that?
What are you going to ask Gronkowski?
I'm going to ask him if he thinks that I would tackle him.
Yeah, and you'd get run over, right? I mean, you're going to look at him and be like, there's not a chance I could tackle him.
I'm going to say, Gronk, do you think you can run me over? And his answer is going to be yes. And I'm going to say, okay, have a good day.
Who else are you going to try to interview today? Who's on your list for the Patriots?
You know, I think me and Mike are just going to walk around and just try and get whoever we can. I know Zach Miller is a Sun Devil, so we're going to try and get him.
Yeah.
An exclusive one-on-one interview with Marshawn Lynch. I'm sitting down with him for 2 hours. we're hoping for that to happen. Chances are not high, but... if it does, that'll be amazing.
Yeah, when Burko said he's going for a pitchfork out of Gronk, that just sounds like epic fail. Like not even a chance of happening.
Yeah, I'm going to shut that down. I'm going to tell him not to do it so he doesn't embarrass himself.
All right, we'll get
However, we are going to get Bill Belichick to throw up the fork.
Yeah, and I do want to see that. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, man.
All right, it was Jordan Simone and Mike Bercovici down there for a couple of minutes. They're going to have some fun, and they'll never forget it, and, you know, it's fine. They're going to get in trouble and get thrown out, and it'll embarrass ASU. It's fine. All right, in all seriousness, I want to get back to last night. So I go out to Wild Horse Pass, and, of course, there's this huge, long line of vehicles trying to talk their way past security, and the whole resort is shut down. It's like the Arizona Grand where the Seahawks are. And so the guy in front is just trying to weasel his way in. And I'm like, dude, this is starting really soon. So get out of my way. So these weasels finally get off to the side and I get up there, walk in about 5 minutes to spare. And there's about three times the media throng for the Patriots last night than there was for the Seahawks the day before at the Arizona Grand when Pete Carroll spoke. And everybody's kind of milling around, and then before you know it, out walks Robert Kraft, and I'm thinking, that's kind of interesting. Robert Kraft is out here to talk. Here is some of what he said last night. I'm going to give this some context, because now it's gone to a new level. The owner of the team coming out defending his guys, vehemently defending his guys. Here's Robert Kraft.
I want to make it clear that I believe unconditionally that the New England Patriots have done nothing inappropriate in this process or in violation of NFL rules.
He is bothered by the accusations against his team.
It bothers me greatly that their reputations and integrity, and by association, that of our team, has been called into question this past week.
And what he expects if they are found to have done nothing wrong.
If the Wells investigation is not able to definitively determine that our organization tampered with the air pressure in the footballs, I would expect and hope that the league would apologize to our entire team, and in particular, Coach Belichick and Tom Brady, for what they have had to endure this past week.
So at one point he used the term indisputable evidence, okay? So he's throwing it down on the NFL, even if Richard Sherman says, hey, look, there's a Kraft and and the commissioner, they spend time together at each other's house and all that stuff. And it's fine to bring that up. But he used the word indisputable evidence, meaning, guys, I don't care if you're going to throw at me 98%. If you don't have 100%, then I expect an apology. Most of you don't like the Patriots, I think. In fact, I know a good portion of you don't. It's kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. Some of you just cannot, and I make fun of the Cowboys. I don't dislike or like them. I don't care. But there's a good portion of the country, and I think a good portion of people here in the Valley that just don't like the Patriots because they're jealous of success. That happens. For the owner to step forward, and somebody sent me a note. He said, well, it was prepared. Sure, it was prepared. The owner thought long and hard about this. I don't know too many owners. It was Jerry Colangelo-esque to me last night to see what Robert Kraft did in front of the assembled mass out at Wild Horse Pass. And I like to see it when owners come out in tough times. It's very easy. Very, very easy. And most sports owners I know are ones that like to find cameras and microphones when everything is good. When things are bad and things are thrown out there, I've seen the good ones, the really good ones, address and embrace that more so than the guy that sits there and bunkers down or hides underground or wants his PR weasels to throw out nice stuff about him when things are bad. And when things are great, that's the only time they're available. So I respect the fact that Robert Kraft did that. He could have taken questions. It's fine. But the rest of this week, the game is already hitting that point of nobody's talking about the breakdown, the matchup. It appears to me to be a terrific game, but this week it's already too late. Snowball has gone out. And I was talking to a couple friends yesterday about this. I truly believe the NFL has to be loving everything that's going on around the Patriots right now. They will say they don't. I don't believe them for a minute. Because if you're able to say we set another television ratings record, last year there was 111 million people that watched. This year, I think if you look at the conditions that are out there, What I mean by that is, if on the East Coast, they're expecting another big storm this weekend, which they are, and with everything building up around the Patriots, there's going to be so many people that don't care about football, that don't like football, that never watch football. And believe me, there are people that don't like it. And they're going to find their way because they've been hearing about this story for this whole last 9 days. 8 days, rather. And so the number is going to be at a number that has never been seen before. I just see that happening this year. I'm not wrong on that. I'm just not. And that this is actually driven interest in the game. Lots of owners are going to say, oh, this is terrible, da 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 da. Don't buy it for a minute. I think the number is going to be enormous for the way that this is going because people like controversy. People like a mystery. People like it when someone breaks a rule and tries to get away with breaking the rule. People want to know what type of rule it was that they broke. That's the way it is. So I found Belichick last night to be very straightforward and to me believable. Tom Brady feels to me like he's a kid that's in the principal's office that got caught on the playground in 7th or 8th grade doing something that he shouldn't have done, but he never gets caught doing anything that he shouldn't have done. Those are the angles around the Patriots today. Media Day today will be all about the freak show that is, and they'll throw some sound bites up, and there'll be a little bit of context about this and that around the team. But by and large, this will continue to be, even last night, there was very little questions that people cared about around the game. Everybody wants an answer to Deflategate. Now, on the Seattle side, they're going to speak later today, too. And how does Marshawn Lynch handle himself? Well, Marshawn Lynch decided that he was going to be ahead of the curve for Media Day today. Marshawn Lynch, on the eve of Super Bowl Media Day last night, released his most extensive interview yet. And he did it in conjunction with Skittles. Of course he did. So he sat at a podium, taped something where he talked about Skittles. The biggest revelation from his press conference, it was a 2.5 minute video, his love of candy and some other stuff that I just, you know, it's Marshawn Lynch, cats versus dog videos, things like that. People will try to get him to say something today. I would be very surprised if he does. And by and large, it's going to be the Richard Sherman show. You'll see highlights tonight of people dressed as Superman, Batman, superheroes. As Erica said, the hundreds of thousands of media that are down there today, fans that are paying $35 to sit and watch all of this. And that's going to be the extent of it. I'm not one of those that likes events created to take money out of people's pockets to go watch crapola. But people will go pay money to watch crapola. So I guess in this day and age of capitalism, the NFL needs a few more bucks. Hey, you struggling to pay your cable bill, pay $35, come watch this. You don't get anything out of it other than to say, look, I'm here. As close as you can get. Tiger Woods spoke today. We'll go through that. Michael Fabiano in about 20 minutes. Busy, busy day around the valley in the world of sports. We've got people out at the Waste Management Open. We've got people downtown at Super Bowl Media Day. I have no idea who else is going to pop in. As people just tell me in my ear, this person, that person. That's the type of show. And I love these shows. Love these shows. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Busy Tuesday, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com on the high school, college, pro stuff that we see going on here in the Valley. Two huge stories today. You have Super Bowl Media Day. You have Tiger Woods meeting with the media just a short time ago. Downtown right now, Bill Belichick's at the podium at Super Bowl Media Day.
Different. Every game's different. Every location's different. So each one's unique. But I think there's a lot of carryover. Well, again, each one's a little bit different. I think in some of those games that we could reference going back to the Giants or even at New England, a lot of times we had played those teams earlier in the season, which obviously isn't the case here with Seattle. We played them in 2012. But, you know, the Giants, we had played Buffalo, you know, a few weeks before in 90. We had played Denver earlier in the season. We played the St. Louis Rams in 2001. So there are some things like that that are a little bit – like I said, each one's a little bit different. In this case, Seattle's a team that we don't know very well from the last 2 years. So that presents a little bit of a different situation for us, as it does them. It's the same for them.
It's Bill Belichick downtown at the podium in the middle of all the masses of media. The other story is Tiger Woods. Tiger meeting a short time ago over at TPC Scottsdale. He is scheduled to tee off on Thursday morning at 8:30. So having Tiger here for the first time since 2001, obviously a huge, huge story. And the throng that was out there this morning to catch up with him, there was some that watched him on his practice round, from my understanding. I saw on Twitter some pictures that were posted. Here's Tiger Woods when asked this morning about being back at TPC Scottsdale, his memories on 16th hole where he had his hole in one.
The hole in one, 97. I think I broke Fluff's hand. I missed either. What did I miss? I missed Omar, or was it Rusty?
Omar
missed his. And then the old school back in the day, raised the roof. You know, that was the thing in the day. And then on top of that, just smelling and hearing the beer hit behind me on the tee box. It was a different, obviously a different setup then. To see the turn around, see all this beer flying, was crazy. And then the more eerie part is when we were playing 17 and 18, everybody didn't really care. They were walking in because they had seen what they wanted to see, and 16 was empty. And so we look back on 16, you see all these beer cups everywhere on the tee box, and probably maybe an eighth of the people there, and everyone's has taken their way around, walking up here and go to the, what is it, bird's nest, crow's nest, whatever it is. They're all headed there. Rock. I don't know. Some nest over there.
Sounds like they need to get him over to the Bird's Nest, which is fine. He could do some real damage over there. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The Santan Ford experience for me is pretty simple, guys. Busiest sports week in a long, long time here in Arizona. Two major events. And I'll be, after the show today, head downtown to the convention center for some appearances and some things down there, meeting up with some people. And then tomorrow we'll be up at the Waste Management Open for media day. And when I get up to the Phoenix Open, it's always a great time. So I need a vehicle that I can depend upon, rely upon, as busy as I am, running from business to business, doing biz dev, doing the show, guests, being a family guy. And the Fusion makes a lot of sense for me, the Ford Fusion. I don't know about you. I look forward to getting into my vehicle every morning. I look forward to what the day is going to bring me. And part of that that's in my toolkit is a vehicle that I can rely upon and depend upon. How about you? Are you in that type of vehicle? Can you say with certainty that you really like the car that you're driving or the truck that you're driving? You know, Santan Ford has a great variety, a great selection, and they have great people there. General Manager Tim Hovick is someone that's involved with all the sports teams you could imagine around the valley and really loves helping out, even things that have nothing to do. He's very philanthropic. And that has a lot to do with my relationship with him. I see it's not just somebody saying, hey, what's your payment? You want to buy a car? And we've been partners for the last 3 years here at sports360az.com. I appreciate him. He appreciates me. That's how it works. Now, how about you? Stop into Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista and check out that car, that truck. Whatever it is that you're looking for, they can make it happen for you. The Ford brand, what a great name. That's at Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. A little bit more from Tiger. So there is a segment of the population. I've had fun with this when he had the tooth knocked out. And then the organizer said, no, that's not what happened. However you want to explain it, here is Tiger Woods on his skiing fiasco where he lost his tooth.
It's two different podiums, if you know, in skiing. When they come down from the run, the top three are always there right there at the end of the run. After every race is completed, then they move that up on the hill so all the photographers can do their deal and their champagne and whatever it is out there in the middle of the run. Lindsay had finished, and I had walked up to the top. I still had my mask on, so no one knew who I was, trying to blend in, because there's not a lot of brown dudes at ski races. We blend in, don't we? Yeah. So that was the whole idea of why I wore the mask. And then I came up above, and I was looking down, and all the camera guys are below me on their knees or standing or getting on the ground, moving all around, trying to get a picture, because she's hugging people, saying congratulations to the other racers as they're coming down. Some are already finished. Some are already in the changing area. And the dude with one of the video cameras on his shoulder was kneeling right in front of me, stood up, turned, and caught me square in the mouth. So he chipped that one, cracked the other one. And so then, you know, I'm trying to keep this thing on so the blood's not all over the place. And luckily, he hit the one that I had the root canal on. That's the one that chipped. So, but the other one had to be fixed as well because it had cracks all through it.
All right, that's his story, and he's going to stick by it. I did not know that Tiger has had 19 holes in one in his career. Now, three as a PGA player. He was asked about the 16th tee and the 16th shot where he had the hole in one. So I thought that was pretty interesting in seeing him this morning. He was over at TPC Scottsdale, played part of the back nine, didn't make it to 16. The rain moved in. Said he wants to play the rest of the course tomorrow. The holes that he played, he started at 10. 14th is the toughest hole on the course. We were out there playing it a few weeks back, and they said 14th is the toughest. Tomorrow, I want to try to be out there and walk around as he plays. And for sure on Thursday morning, he tees off Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. Thursday morning, Tiger Woods round one. That will be must-see sporting take-in here in the Valley. Here's more Tiger. What is he happy with, and what does he need to improve upon with his game?
The happiest part, I'm driving it. I feel great about driving my ball. And I think I need to work on a little bit here is getting the speed of these greens, because they're, as I said, it's in your head, you assume hard greens with a lot of spring to them are going to be fast, but they're not fast. They spring, but they're putt slow. And so I got to do some work and try and overcome that little mental hurdle and make sure I can hit the putts hard, even though I know coming into the greens, I got to throw the ball straight up in the air, play for a big hop, chips, play for two big hops before the ball starts thinking about stopping.
How can you not want to follow him? He hasn't been here in 15 years. I mean, we talk about greatness and in his given sport. It's like Michael Jordan rolling in back in the day. Like the LeBron game here a couple of weeks ago, it was very disappointing. The game wasn't sold out. The Suns played the Cavaliers. LeBron James played. Game wasn't sold out. There were swaths of empty seats in the arena. I have to believe that the amount of people that will be following Tiger around, I was at a business thing last night before I went over to the Patriots, and all they talked about was Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. I mean, they'll get to the Super Bowl, and the game's on Sunday, but very much looking forward to that. Down at Super Bowl Media Day right now, Rob Gronkowski at the podium.
One of the more physical teams in the league, and I mean, you can't really tell how physical they are until you actually play the game, too. So we'll definitely see on Sunday, and it's going to be a great experience and a great game. What's that? The biggest prankster on the Patriots? I mean, back in the days, it was Matt Light. But really, we don't really have any pranksters right now on the team. Yeah, everyone just plays cool.
And that's the type of stuff you're going to get at Media Day. If you were the tree, what kind of tree would you be? Who's the biggest prankster? You're not going to get any heavy lifting. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm not ripping on it. It's just not my cup of tea. Eric is down there. He can handle that stuff. Michael Fabiano is going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk to Fabs about his event he's got with Marshall Faulk and DeMarco Murray. We'll talk with Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. He's a part of what we do here throughout the regular NFL season, the best in the business, the fantasy football insider, and Hall of Famer. Michael Fabiano is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So we go from Tiger Woods just finishing up his press conference. Super Bowl Media Day is in full force. Eric is down there at that. Players jumping on. Robert Allenby is going to talk about why he hit his head, leaving a strip club, allegedly, $4,300 lighter. This is at about 11:30. Other than that, there's just nothing going on here in the Valley. It's my kind of week. Sports 360 AZ. Tomorrow we'll be out at the Open. Thursday at the Open. Friday, I'm not sure. Talking about rain on Friday, but we'll just play that by ear. Tomorrow's a Pro-Am. There'll be a lot of NFL players out there tomorrow and great former players that my understanding is they're just going to be out there to watch. I saw where Brant Snedeker challenged Charles Barkley to show up tomorrow to hit his tee shot on 16. Of course, Charles is here in the Valley. That could be some fun. There's an event that Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network, our friend who comes on during the regular season, the best of the best in fantasy football, called The Evolution of Fantasy Football and the Impact on Fans, Players, and the League, that Michael Fabiano is. Are you putting this on? Are you speaking at this? What is it you're doing, and when are you doing it?
Well, I'm part of a panel that will be Thursday, 11 to 1, obviously Phoenix time, and it's being run by SAP, which is a company that is partnering with the NFL, and they're the company behind the player comparison tool, which is featured in the NFL.com fantasy football product.
Yeah.
And it's all about how data and statistics and the importance of those are gaining so much importance in not only fantasy football, but in the NFL. Marshall Faulk is going to be sort of moderating the panel. The great Marshall Faulk, who is one of the best players in fantasy football, regardless of the era. And DeMarco Murray will be with us also, who is the number one running back in fantasy football coming off of the 2014 season. So we'll be talking a lot about how statistics are, again, gaining more importance. We're talking about from, say, 15 years ago, if you were a fantasy football owner, and there are a lot more of us now than there were back then, your research was a little bit different. Maybe you're looking at pass defenses, run defenses. Now you're looking at advanced stats like targets and touches and red zone targets and red zone touches and fantasy points against, which isn't advanced stats, but it's something now that we have as fantasy fans because fantasy has become so popular. It's sort of like if you know the term sabermetrics from baseball.
Sure.
Sabermetrics is the Society of American Baseball Research. And some broadcasters use sabermetrics when they're talking about the game. I know David Cohen uses it as a Yankees fan. I watch ES, and I know Michael Kay uses it a little bit as well. Advanced stats haven't really broken through yet to NFL broadcasts, but I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of thing happens at some point in the future. Websites like, for example, Pro Football Focus, who Chris Collinsworth is now a part of, have become very popular. So we're seeing an increase in this interest in stats, and the player comparison tool that SAP is doing that they have had on our site for the last couple of years is basically your one-stop shop to the biggest question in fantasy football every single week during the regular season, Brad, and that is, who do I start, who do I sit, and why?
So, you know, the statistical side of it, this is Michael Fabiano with us, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network. Thursday, 11-1, SAP is putting this on. Marshall Faulk, Marco Murray, and Michael. And where is this going to be held, Michael?
This is going to be held over in the convention center. I would have to... I will let you know exactly where it's going to be, and then you can
pass that along to
the listeners. There's also going to be another event, which will be on Wednesday, tomorrow. I believe that is from 5 to 7 in the same place, and there'll be more of a Q&A sort of atmosphere with, again, myself, DeMarco, Marshall, and a moderator. So there's two. The bigger one will be on Thursday, and SAP also has a NFL stat zone set up where you can go and actually take a look at what SAP's player comparison tool is, what it has to offer, what sort of stats are involved in this. They use a five-category philosophy. It's matchup, intangibles, which is weather, that kind of thing. Consistency, how consistent a player is, what kind of players what kind of upside he has, and then his overall performance. And you can actually weigh which of those categories you feel is the most important in determining the outcome of your search in terms of, do I start Drew Brees or do I start Peyton Manning? And it spits out data, and it comes up with an answer based on your customized categorical ways. So
this is cool. You'll be here, and then I'm going to see you Friday. That's what that's
I know.
My
you
plan.
Said it's going to rain. Should I bring my umbrella?
You should bring your umbrella. You should consider maybe alternate plans from the amount of rain that I'm hearing. But
is that right? Oh boy.
I'm just friendly. You know, the audience needs to know this too. That Tiger's playing 8:30 on Thursday morning, which means he would be in the afternoon. He'd be at 12:30 on Friday afternoon, which means you need to see him roll through 16 because it's once in a lifetime deal. It would be sometime around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Let's see, tees off.
I'll tell you, the weather is wreaking havoc on my 3 days in Arizona because there's a huge snowstorm going on in the Northeast right now.
Yeah,
and you know I'm a wrestling fan, and I have friends who are in the WWE, and I actually talked to Eric about this. The Bella Twins, Brie, and her husband, Daniel Bryan, live in Arizona, and we were all going to go to the golf tournament on Thursday, but they're stuck in the Northeast, so they can't even get back to Arizona. They're shooting SmackDown now, which was supposed to be on a Tuesday, and now they have to do that on a Thursday, I believe, because of all the weather. So not only am I missing out on seeing my friends, but now on Friday, I was going to see you and Eric, it's going to be raining.
Yeah, you'll still see us. We'll make it happen. So, yeah, all right. Well, we'll be in touch. Good stuff. And it's tomorrow 5 to 7, Thursday 11 to 1 at the Convention Center.
Correct.
Thanks, Michael. See you then.
All right, my friend. Take care.
You got it. Michael Fabiano. Weekly during the NFL season with us. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. On Sports360AZ.com right now, plenty of content for you to check out. National Letter of Intent Day is a week from tomorrow. So, yeah, we're doing Super Bowl. We're doing waste management this week. But those of you that follow our site, we have a lot of people that jump on board when it is Letter of Intent Day. We had some late breaking news last night around Arizona State's clasp that you can check out on that front. And just away from the Super Bowl and waste management for a moment, a couple of things. The Suns are off tonight. They host Washington tomorrow. Washington's pretty darn good. They're one of the biggest surprises. And I think the Suns catch a break. The Wizards are in L.A. tonight, so they're going to get them on a back-to-back. The Coyotes are at Philly tonight. I don't know if the snow is going to wipe them out. And the Coyotes have been just miserable. And Arizona State loses guard Cody Justice for the season. So they're already not good. Now they're really not good. But the big stories today, obviously, are Super Bowl Media Day and Waste Management Open. Let's go back down to the downtown where Super Bowl Media Day is going on. We've checked in down there with Eric once. Let's check in with him again. Has it been worth your time to be down there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's quite the gathering. And from the last time we spoke in the last hour, the arena is probably half full. And believe it or not, Brad, there are people sitting at the top of the lower bowl down here at the Suns Arena watching Media Day, which basically just looks like a bunch of ants running around with cameras and microphones.
Have there yet to be a player to get up and say, excuse me, I want to go up and shake hands with these suckers that are sitting here that are paying $35 a piece?
Not yet. Yeah. It's sort of hard to hear and see everything down there because basically, like I said, shoulder to shoulder, wall to wall people. But someone asked Bill Belichick a couple of minutes ago what his favorite teddy bear was.
All right, great.
So you describe your favorite stuffed animal. What are the last three movies you've seen? So the bizarre questions have started, and there's about 35 minutes left in the Patriots media session. Then there'll be a 45-minute break, and then the NFC champion Seahawks will make their way downtown.
Terrific. That's just awesome. I'm glad you're there for that. Better you than me.
So what's going on with Tiger? Fill me in on what's the latest Tiger news. We're not only Super Bowl on watch, but we're on Tiger watch.
Yeah, well, we heard from Tiger, and Tiger was great.
Good.
Tiger was fun, and it's been a fine show. We haven't missed you at all, you know?
You rarely do.
Yeah, just stay down there and, you know, go sit up in the stands with those suckers and talk, you know, have them sit there and watch that stuff and, you know, knock yourself out. No, Tiger was fine. Tiger talked about his tooth, and, you know, nobody believes him. And sure, it sounds like the fringe media is there. You know, they had to make a choice between going and asking about teddy bears or, you know, Tiger's habits. I thought he was actually really good, Eric. He talked about his hole-in-one here and how he has 19 hole-in-ones in his career, three on the PGA Tour. That was really, really interesting. He's fine. Robert Allenby is talking in about a half hour, so that's going to be the story of the day.
The soap opera continues.
Yeah. Did you really go to the strip club? No, of course I didn't. It would be great if he just stood up there and bawled his eyes out and cried like a little baby and said, yeah, that was me. So,
well, public sympathy isn't always a bad thing. You know.
I know.
It's always better to admit your fault.
See you later. Good job. There's Eric Sorensen down at Media Day doing his thing. There'll be content he'll put up on sports360az.com. later on today. On the other side, we'll get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Also on the other side is Talk to the Lopes. It is Tuesday. Tom Flood, GCU, the challenge of starting track and field at Grand Canyon University. We'll talk to him for a couple of minutes. And then we'll hear more from Super Bowl Media Day and Tiger Woods being in the Valley. Big couple of stories today. Talk to the Lopes is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Partnering with the Arizona Republic. Off we go now, hour number two, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat with you. It's a busy Tuesday. In a couple of moments, Tom Flood, as we do Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University track and field program. We switch gears for a couple of minutes. Some of the top stories going on in my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. If you've flown out of Gateway Airport, you know by now you can get to nearly 40 different locations. If you've not flown out of Gateway Airport, Southeast Mesa, just off the Santan 202 and the 60, Allegiant Air can get you up to Las Vegas for $50 each way. How about that? Let's check those dates out. I found $50 flights. I actually found a $40 flight in early March for the Pac-12 tournament. You can get up to the Bay Area, into Oakland. You can get into Seattle, into Bellingham, direct into Eugene, Oregon, all in Allegiant Air. And all out of Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Appreciate their support. Some of the top stories today, obviously, Super Bowl Media Day going on as we speak. We've checked in there a couple of times. Tiger Woods practice round this morning. We checked in there. The Suns are off tonight. Coyotes play tonight. And that's some of what is on my mind now in the world of sports. Tom Flood joins us now. It's time for Talk to the Lopes. Every week, we talk Grand Canyon University sports. Tom is the track and field coach as they get ready to open up their season. They have an event this weekend up at Northern Arizona University. How are you, Tom?
Doing great, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on board with us on Talk to the Lopes. I'm just wondering the challenge of starting a program where it is now from when you first took it over.
We just started our fifth year. Started the program with nobody and nobodies. quite a task. Just been very blessed from the get-go. Just in our second season, our men won the 2012 Indoor National Championship and continued success through that. Girls have been ranked number three in the country in 2013, and then guys finished fourth outdoor that year. And even in our first year last year with our transition to Division One, our women was the first program in school history to win a Division One indoor. We won our indoor track title.
How many athletes do you have total now, Tom?
Our roster included, it started with about 100, we were 110 athletes. We've come a long way. I think that first year we had about 35 total 4 years ago.
So when you're building a track program and you don't have anybody to start with, is it up in the dorm rooms? Hey, we've got track tryouts. Where do you go to find your guys, girls, when you first started? And now they've got to be coming to you, I would assume.
Yeah, we get a lot of interest now. This university kind of sells itself. But that first year, yeah, we were pulling kids out of the dorm. Our intent always has been to do it with as many local kids as possible. I think we do a really good job with that, not only the high school kids, but the junior college kids. Took a chance on a Jamaican athlete our very first year, and that kind of opened a, pardon the pun, a floodgate for some very talented kids out of the beautiful island of Jamaica.
Your recruiting budget allows you to go there?
I personally haven't been. I was sure would love that. So maybe Dan Marley's staff, they probably could go out and spend a week down there to do it. But hopefully that's in the plans in the future. So
That's good. We're talking with Tom Flood, track and field program at Grand Canyon University. The indoor season versus the outdoor season. You're in indoor right now, correct?
Correct. We started 2 weeks ago. This is our third meet.
And your facilities at GCU for indoor and outdoor, if you can talk about that.
There is no difference. Our first year, we did not have a facility on campus. We practiced right across the street at Borgate High School. Close proximity, but just it's not a very good facility. So we've come a long way. We do have a facility on campus. I think that's one of our benefits and maybe why we have so much success indoor during the indoor season is we're outdoor every day. It's 60 meters is the dashes instead of 100 meters, but we can go ahead and still practice at 80, 100 meters with everybody or put up extra hurdles. While we're doing that, it's an easier transition to outdoor. The tough thing is, yeah, NAU's got a beautiful 300-meter track indoor. It's flat. There's a little tighter turns that we don't have the ability to practice on. And or last weekend we were at New Mexico, which is a 200-meter bank track. It takes kids a little bit of adjustment to learn how to run on those banks.
And is that something that you'd like to see built at GCU?
I don't think they would ever build one at GCU. We've talked to them on our coaching staff, and you know Brian Mueller and the smartness of our business department over here. It would be a wonderful investment if somebody, you know, would buy an indoor facility and put it down maybe at the Madhouse on McDowell, and we could run an indoor season. I think they'd host the NCAAs, a bunch of different, you know, Mountain Pacific Sports Federation may host their indoor meet there, and or the WAC would be able to host our indoor meet. Never going to have any weather delays out of Phoenix, plenty of flights, you know, like Albuquerque last weekend. We had to almost just run right off the track, right out the door and into the van to catch the last flight out on Saturday evening out of Albuquerque. So I think it'd be a wonderful investment.
Sure. Well, and I'm fine spending Brian's money. I mean, it's, you know.
He's done very well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was at the soccer press conference a couple of weeks ago, and they're talking about the soccer facility. But see, track and field, you have the numbers there. And I've seen some very talented high school kids that have gone out of Arizona on the track and field front. I coached one in basketball, and she's up at Oregon now. And it's somebody that if you would have given an option to, you might have had a chance for her to stay if everything were in place. Because you're probably, I'm assuming, you're probably losing the top-end kids out of state if they really want to be track and field kids. Am I right in that?
At this stage, we are. Maybe not because we don't have an indoor facility. Right now, with our transition to Division One, we mm-hmm. aren't eligible to go to the NCAA championship. So these last two recruiting cycles, I've been very fortunate to chase some very, very talented people across the nation and had got my fair share of them. The Oregons, the Texas A&M, the Florida States, they're going to be tough to recruit against any day, let alone Arizona State. Those are Pac-12 powerhouses. But right now, with not the ability to go to the NCAAs, that's kind of a deal breaker for a lot of these super talented, you know, the top elite athletes across the country. So we've got this year and then two more to kind of deal with that, but we'll be back out, you know, again, chasing the best talent in the country after that.
What is your, before I let you go, we're talking about Tom Flood, Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University track and field program every Tuesday. Take a few minutes and talk about what's going on over at GCU. When you sit down, Tom, with a potential student athlete, and I have a daughter who's graduated from GCU in April. She's in her last run there. I had the pitch given to us just in terms of what your daughter will get out of it. From a track and field standpoint, what do you offer to those players, not just the day of experience, but the whole athletic experience at GCU? What can you offer them?
Well, this is such an intimate campus. It's the whole thing. Private-based. You're going to get a quality Christian-based education here, and we're in the heart of Phoenix. But the campus still has that intimate feel, although we've jumped from, 1,700 students to 11,000 now. It still has that mm-hmm. Christian core base, a wonderful campus feel. Ours is that the weather year-round, we can train. There's a lot of kids that, you know, if they're, you know, got back east right now, you're under a foot of snow. So we're outdoor every day training. You combine that with our wonderful academic reputation. The university really sells itself.
I appreciate your time. Best of luck. Thanks for jumping on board. Talk to the Lopes.
I sure appreciate it, Brad. You got a busy week. Take care.
You got it, Tom. No worries. Tom Flood there. Grand Canyon University track and field program at GCU. That is Talk to the Lopes. Good stuff there. The week, as he alluded to, the week is getting busier and busier. I got invited to some things that I have no business being invited to. So what happens on a week like this is you get these emails saying DJ Bamboozle is playing tonight from 7 to 9 and you need to be at DJ Bamboozle's party. And I have no interest in DJ Bamboozle. So I go to my 19-year-old. Jordy, do you know DJ Bamboozle, Jordy Ham?
Haven't had the pleasure.
No. Of DJ Bamboozle. No, I'm just sitting here looking at my email saying I have no interest in DJ Bamboozle. You know, if somebody's got DJ Bamboozle's number or something he's played, send it to me. I might decide to do something. I don't know. But there's a couple of other of these things that are going on this week where you say, okay, somebody sold a list of email names of media here in the Valley so that they will show up at some of these events. And we're going to some cool stuff. And I'm not going to sit here and brag about it and talk about it. It's just there's some cool things going on this week that'll be fun. I just find it interesting when it's like, I'm the wrong demo, okay? It's not me. It's not happening. One other note to end this segment. So I found out this morning that one of my first mentor in the broadcast industry to me passed away. And you know, I just take a minute because all of us have a backstory on how we got to wherever it is we are. Anybody that's been in the media business for, you know, I've been in it now, this is 31 years. And the guy's name was Jerry Gross. He was here in the Valley for a little bit, bounced in and out. He was in San Diego for many, many, many years, and he passed away of prostate cancer. He called me out of the blue about 4 years ago, just, hey, kid, how you doing? So when we do what we do here every day, there is a little bit of him in me and some of the other guys that poured themselves into me when I was 18, 19, 20, 21. You know what I'm talking about. Jerry had a way of collecting phone numbers. I remember I was like 19, and he said, you need to call Howard Slusher, famed NFL agent. Here is Howard Slusher's phone into his shower. A shower phone, which back in the day was probably the size of, I don't know, remember the old cell phones? They're like big old bricks. But then I said, well, I called that number. Well, here's his cell phone. This is when cell phones were just starting. Here's this phone. Here's that. He had like five numbers for this guy who at the time was one of the most powerful agents around. And he could go find anybody to put them on the show. And he told me, kid, always collect phone numbers. That was all. He said, collect one phone number a day and you'll have yourself a Rolodex, the term back in the day. So, you know, I just wanted to just take a moment just to kind of honor him, I guess. That I was sad to hear about him passing, but it's somebody that truly made an impact on where I am today and for what he did in my career.